All right, councillors, it's 8:30. If I could just have your attention, please. We have a quorum, councillors, so I will need a mover and seconder that the special meeting draft city plan special meeting resumes. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? I'm just checking the councillors on teleconference. I see. Okay. So we do have a quorum, though, don't we? Yes. One, two, three. Okay. That's carried, councillors. Thank you. Just if I could just start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. I'd like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who are present here this morning. Just bring your attention for those members of the public in the gallery of section 32 of the standing orders, and I think it's fairly clear that all members of the public present cannot, without prior approval of a chairperson, make any audio or video recordings, take any photographs. You must remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent. And if you need to take a call, we ask that you leave the chambers, please. It is my responsibility as chairperson to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as the chairperson decides, and that could include future meetings. Councillors, there is no leave of absence that I'm aware of, but we do actually need to have a mover for a motion that permission be granted for Councillor Boglari to take part in a special meeting, the draft Redland City Plan by teleconference. Can I have a mover and second of that, please? Move Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We also need a motion, councillors, that permission be granted for Councillor Hewlett to take part in the special meeting draft Redland City Plan by teleconference. Mover and seconder, thanks. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconder Councillor Golay. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Also a mover for the motion that permission be granted for Councillor Bishop to take part in the special meeting draft Redland City Plan by teleconference. Mover for that, thanks. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Golay. Those in favour? Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Just quickly reminding you of your responsibilities in relation to councillors' material personal interest and conflict of interest in a meeting under the Local Government Act 2009. This is a matter of ordinary business as stipulated in the Act, councillors, but you do have references to those responsibilities in your agenda. All right, councillors, this has already been moved and seconded, this item. We have been presented with a slight amendment or an addition to the already moved and seconded motion. So I'll put that up in front of you. But I believe Councillor Elliott will move that amendment.
Mayor, I'll just bring to your attention, I've just spoke to Liz, it was about 10 past eight. I've changed the word
expedite
instead of progress. And yes. There was no use circulating that time, no council will be looking at their
That's
MRs.
Fine.
I just put that up and it just gives a bit more emphasis to a council. Otherwise, what the email you got yesterday is what you're seeing up there.
Okay, councillors, we have a move. We're now going to vote. We need a seconder for the amendment, firstly.
Happy to second.
Seconded by Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to the amendment, Councillor Elliott?
Excellent. Could be on the hop. I've got all the organised except to talk.
Sorry.
It's unusual for me, isn't it? Madam Chair, firstly, I'd like to thank council for... It's on.
Yeah, pull it closer to you.
Sorry. That should be longer here, Robbie. Firstly, I'd like to thank Council for the opportunity to suspend the meeting to allow me time to talk to State Member Don Brown, to talk to the Minister's office. I think it was worthwhile. I think you've seen the Minister's letter back. We're going to have to give reasons why. And I'm more than happy with that. At least we've had the opportunity, and it was very, very quick, the reply sort of thing like that. We've had the opportunity to have a second crunch at this. I'll be honest, it may not be successful, but certainly we've got that opportunity. And I think we tried all the routes we could, and the political route, at least we've got an opportunity to do that again. I moved the motion up there, and this is just the one item, the 400 square metre blocks. my concern, and I think most councillors' concern, was in the older areas. I realise there's things like, and I went back over the information we had last October and things like that. The community title is something that is something we'll have to address, address in there as well. But certainly our officers, I think we'll look at the provisions of the Act, and they mentioned legality of our submission and things like that. But certainly I'm proposing we have another shot at it, and I'd like council support. I think that's all I need to say.
So councillors, we're currently just debating the amendment. So do we have any speakers against? Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I understand the reason for the amendment. I don't have a problem with wanting to continue to revisit it and examine the law and put a proposal forward, but I just don't see that it needs to be an additional dot point to the motion. The motion is written as an officer's recommendation. I think that it's complete the way it is. We know that we intend to progress various changes and apply for those changes through the normal processes. There's no reason why we can't progress this in the same way. There isn't any need for this to be an amendment to the motion.
Any other speakers for the amendment?
I'll speak for it.
Councillor Boglari.
If I'm repeating anything that she might have said, I would just like some clarity. With the way that this amendment is written, our emerging communities such as Clay Gully and then also new subdivisions like Shoreline, are they also going to be ensured that there are 400 metre lot minimum in them?
I think this was answered last week, but we're actually just debating the amendment at the moment, Councillor. So. Okay, any other speakers for the amendment? Councillor Elliott, would you like to sum up on the amendment before we vote?
In response to Councillor Telty's comment, this is about doing this now. This is not to wait till the amendment. This is about talking about this now, not waiting for October, the 10th of October, to put in an amendment package. This is about doing this one little bit now, and pretty sure the government knows we are, the community knows. I don't think we need to have public consultation against to tell us the bleeding obvious, but anyway, that's what it's about. Thank you.
Arguably, that's what the public consultation told us in the first place. So, all right. So, we're now going to vote on the amendment, councillors. So, we will then, if that amendment is supported, then we will vote on the entire recommendation. Those in favour of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against? Those in favour, councillors, Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams. Those against, Councillor Tolte. We now have the full motion in front of you, councillors. Now, it was originally moved by Councillor Tolte, but we now have that additional dot point four. Now, councillors, are there any speakers for that, or are we just going to move on and ask those questions? New mover and seconder for that.
For the entirety. So we've voted on the amendment. Now, the amendment becomes this motion. We're moving and seconding that, I think.
Councillor Elliott, you're moving. So now we now have.
I do.
Yes. Do you want to speak to it,
Councillor?
I think what Councillor... Yeah. We just voted on the amendment. Now we have to move and second the new motion. All right, so move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Hughes. Now, Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I'll be brief. Thanks, ma'am. Look, it's been a long time coming, the city plan. I'll just say there's a few things in there I don't like. We've been through various workshops and discussions. In most parts, a good majority of councillors voted for those changes. The devil will be in the detail as it rolls out, but I expect it's a good document. And I think we learned from the results of the 2006 what an unwieldy document that with 1,600 pages or something like that. I think we're down to about 380 or something like that. So. I look forward to the implementation of it as soon as possible. Thank you.
Any speakers against, councillors? Some comments? Okay.
Can I just seek clarity on what I asked before, when possible, please?
Yeah, this is in regards, I can have an officer respond. This is in regards to emerging communities. I thought we were given that response last week, but in regards to the fact that, no, it doesn't impact them, but if there's an officer, who would like to respond? Kim, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go back to what the group manager for City Planning and Assessment said last year. This is really in their domain as impact assessable development. In that zone, the current minimum lot size is 100 hectares, so it does depend on the outcome of the structure plan process. But in establishing a low density residential zone in the future, there is no established neighbourhood character and amenity, so that minimum would become the minimum adopted through that structure plan process.
So we're yet to determine what the zones are in the emerging community. It's a plan on its own first and foremost. Does that answer your question, Councillor Boglari?
I'm sorry, but this is I'm hearing about every third word. So if I just get a yes or no, emerging communities and shoreline would be included. I'm gathering that's a yes.
Through the chair, Councillor Boglari, the current minimum lot size in that zone is 100 hectares. I recall it's until the land moves into another zone or development occurs consistent with a structure plan or through an amendment, then the prevailing lot size, that's the prevailing lot size. If the minimum lot size will depend on the zones that ultimately apply across those sites.
Okay, I see. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Okay, some comments. We had Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte.
Thanks, Mayor. There's some good improvements in the planning scheme, and I acknowledge that. I did want to say publicly though, where I've got a problem, and that is, this is the Redland City planning scheme, not the state government's planning scheme. They've got their dirty mitts all over it. If they want to take responsibility and condition us on what we can and can't do in our own planning scheme, they should have their name on it, not us. We've got a real problem with that. Residents vote for us to represent them and make decisions on their behalf. They're not voting on the state government bureaucrats and ministers to make these sort of decisions. And they've got to know, residents have got to know, that state government's all over it, and they dictate to us the terms in which we set our planning scheme. It's disgusting.
Councillor Tolte.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. We had a little bit of a break in the momentum, and I think we were all ready to speak to the planning scheme 2 weeks ago, and we've kind of forgotten that aspect of it now that we've come back so focused on this one aspect. But look, I wanted to just come back and draw everyone's attention to the fact that this has been a five-year process. We're going from two massive volumes that were written at the introduction of a new planning legislation way back in 2005, 2006. The legislation now is just so vastly different. It's been through several iterations, and the process and the work that has gone into getting this new planning scheme prepared, streamlined, simplified for people to understand, so that people, when they're doing things, can read it and can understand it, has been a huge effort, and the officers have done so very well. We have to say thank you very, very much to Kim and all of the planning team, David and Louise and everyone from that department. So if you compare the two massive convoluted volumes with lost notes in the margins and all the other things that we started with, down to this new planning scheme, which will make it simpler for people to understand, for mum and dads to understand how they can manage their quarter acre or their 400 square metres or whatever. It really is a good document, and we've all got aspects of it that we've argued for and against, but at the end of the day, we need to allow the community to get on and have certainty and know that this document will be there for them. So I want to just bring everyone's attention back to that fact that this has been a huge process with an unbelievable amount of community consultation, mapping, back and forth to the state government. And it's a highly regulated process, so it's sometimes difficult for the community to understand why these things take so long, why we have to do things in a particular way. But it has been achieved, and it's really something worth celebrating. So thank you very much.
Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I'd also like to reiterate our thanks to officers. It certainly is confusing, but thank them for their patience in a really challenging period, but I think we've all done well. I just wanted to, certainly not going to go into a lot of detail, planning is still complex, however well we've done to simplify the document, but did want to point out a couple of things for my community and the citywide. On one small thing, which I think is quite large in the document, for home-based businesses, we've simplified some of the rules around that to make it easier for our residents to work from home, where they can now have one non-resident worker in a home-based business. That's a big thing for a small business. So that's a great thing in this city plan to make it easier for mums and dads to have a better lifestyle, not have to travel out of our area to work. Importantly, Redlands Hospital Precinct, the specialised centre zone coming through there, that's could really help our area. My Raby Bay community, we'll have lots of conversations moving forward on the refined storm tide mapping that comes in here. The minister has recognised some gaps in the building code for loads on the revetment walls, so the protection around the revetment walls and the amenity, which have sort of stuck in the side of the Raby Bay community for a number of years. So that's going to come through and move along, so that's good. And my the community of Minjerribah, North Stradbroke Island, again, too much detail to come through, but the minister has directed some zone changes on the island, so that will now come into the light of day. Apart from that, there have been some simplifications in the tourist zone, again making it hopefully easier for the economic transition of that island. I think they were some main things, so a lot of detail embedded in those few words, but to both Stradbroke and Raby Bay, we'll spread that information out to you in the fullness of time. Thanks.
Councillor Hughes, comment?
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, yesterday we were distributed a letter from the state government that was originally sent to Councillor Elliott, and I'm just wondering if I could ask a question off that letter, if that's appropriate or not.
Absolutely appropriate.
Thank you. And through yourself to potentially to Kim. Or David, on the third paragraph down, this sentence here regarding to the 400 square metre lots that we have been discussing, it says the way in which the council made the changes to the proposed minimum lot size did not meet the legal requirements of the Planning Act and specifically the purpose of the Act. And that just concerned me a little. I'm surprised at those words.
So council made that decision to go back with it in the second state review based on the feedback that they had from their community in regards to those lots.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
it's an education process, and as Councillor Mitchell and Councillor Tolte and Councillor Gleeson, in fact, have said that planning is a very complex, it's a complex process, but there is one rule that I've learnt, you cannot prohibit any form of development. You would have heard it said in this chambers before that anyone can actually apply for anything, almost anywhere, and that is the legislation set out by the state. And I guess that comment from the minister was basically saying that by being so prescriptive, because the scheme is not, planning is not supposed to be so prescriptive, therefore prohibitive, his concern was that we were actually prohibiting development, and hence why there was some flexibility allowed. That's my understanding. I'm happy if that's not clear, I'm happy for officers to elaborate more, but really that's the guts of his comment. And that was our decision to go back to the minister. Once that resolution was made and went back, the MALPI process, the process we have to abide by in making local planning instruments, basically says that's it, and the minister will direct any outcomes of that to us, which is what he has done.
And I was seeking that point for clarification, absolutely. We were very clear in chambers here of our intent, and the officers on behalf of council have given that minister
correct,
that clear message, and this is the wording that we've got back.
That's right. It's a great lesson, I suppose, for our community in the complexities of planning. You don't need require any further explanation, Councillor Hughes. Does that sum it up for you?
Thank you.
All right. I've got Councillor Bishop.
Yes. Thank you very much. And first of all, councillors, thank you for the indulgence to allow me to telephone conference in. And secondly, I'd just like to reiterate what has been said previously regarding the, I believe, exemplary work from officers who have communicated with councillors at every step of the process and allowed us to enter into discussions and design in a very collaborative manner that has resulted in what will be this city plan. Along the way, at various times, there have been a number of issues that I have personally had concerns with, and for my part, some of those are at a high level and strategic point, things to do with consultation that have not, for me, met the satisfaction test that I believe is important for us as decision makers to have the confidence to proceed through the statement of proposals and then the preparation of the planning scheme. There were two opportunities that we could have consulted that the majority chose to not do that, which I understand and I need to go with. There was also to proceed without having an updated transport plan. I have concerns and ongoing concerns that we are potentially designing in some long-term strategic challenges that need in relation to the inclusion of heritage. We went down a path of separating that, and that's a parallel process that has not yet been integrated
point of order, ma'am.
This planning scheme. And that may be subject to a further...
We have a point of order, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Bishop, just 1 minute. Councillor Gleeson, what
I'm
is your...
I'm not sure about the relevance of this, Mayor. The issues that Councillor Bishop is talking about are not relevant to the planning scheme, and it's not relevant to this, the motion before us.
I disagree.
Well, Councillor Bishop...
Planning scheme is where heritage is either integrated as part of the development of a city or not, and my exact point is that heritage has been separated as a parallel process, which is not included as an integral design characteristic for this planning scheme. That's my point. The environmental corridors, which are a significant factor in our city, the management of vegetation across this city has gone through a significant contested history and is important to the people and the character of the place. And while the environmental corridor mapping has taken part again as a separate process, the integration of it is not enshrined in what we are adopting today. And while that's subject to future amendments, for those reasons and other elements to do with design, I am withholding my support for the adoption of this plan because some of those strategic fundamental aspects I believe should have been integrated, and there's a missed opportunity there. However, I do want to acknowledge that on balance there is a number of improvements that I think everyone has worked in a very collegiate manner to integrate, and I know that probably not everyone else feels the same about the strategic planning requirements that I do, and so I'm just going to have to wear that, but I do think that they will be impacts that our city will feel, and that things that we could have integrated and looked after our city and our residents better in the designing of this planning scheme. So I will withhold my judgment, my support, but thank the officers and acknowledge the work of all the councillors and everyone working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. I am going to get one of the officers to, I guess, elaborate and clarify some of the points that you've made that aren't completely 100% in my view, correct, because we have actually looked at environmental elements, but I'll get Kim to actually comment if that's okay.
Thank you, Chair. And to address some of the points you raised, Councillor Bishop, the planning scheme and preparation is a point in time, and the inputs to the planning scheme based upon the technical information, particularly mapping, that had been completed at the point that the document was submitted to the Minister for First Aid Interest Review. So as far as possible, everything that was completed and able to be incorporated was. It's reassuring that the same mapping that underpins our environmental significance overlay is the vegetation mapping that underpins the corridor work. So this is a refinement of what's in the document. Similarly, the heritage study is being progressed. There were decisions made by council around the timing of that work. Everything that we could feed through into the planning scheme from various areas of council were, and again, there is a planning scheme is amended on a regular basis, and in particular to incorporate any sort of more recent studies or addressing legislation.
Thank you, Kim. Councillor Edwards.
Wendy, when possible.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for all the work that went into this. This is pretty complex, and I think I have to go about two or three of them to fully understand it, and it takes so long. And like every major document we come, and I'll use a budget for an example, we come to the end of a lengthy process, nowhere near as lengthy as this, but we come to a position where none of us councils get entirely what we want out of it. It's always a compromise. And so it comes to a position where you're doing something like a town plan, there's probably more compromises most people have to make. The complexity of it, the legislation we have to follow, things that we would think would be easy to do aren't. So I think we need to take that into mind when we're going to decide whether we're going to support this document or not. And I'd like councillors to support it, particularly for the amount of work involved. But the thing that I don't want anybody to think is this is going to be a silver bullet. I'm sure when the last planning scheme came out, there was a lot of proposals that came subsequently from that we just didn't think would happen. And whilst I think there's a lot of good work is done and there's a lot of mitigation done around potential approvals that might have gone up in the past that won't get in the future, I'm sure we're going to be faced with many applications over the coming years, and the next council is going to receive applications and they're going to say, this shouldn't happen. Why is this loop up? But that's the nature of the beast, and we can only do the best that we can at the time and with the knowledge that we have. I'm going to support it. It's been a lot of work. It's been very interesting. And let's hope that it's a marked improvement on the past planning scheme.
Councillor Boglari. Councillor Boglari.
Oh, sorry. Like I said, it's a bad connection. I too would like to thank the officers. I think as long as I've got into council in 2008, changing the existing planning scheme and improving it has been discussed, and we've sat through many, many workshops, and I've had many one-on-ones with officers trying to get an improved outcome for Redlands and actually giving the community some security and assurance that what their vision for their city is actually reflected in this blueprint. I know we've spent a lot of time on the development assessment part, on setbacks and heights and what can go where, and I thank the officers for that. Like Councillor Edwards just said, I think the devil is in the detail when it comes to that, because even though some of the changes we are hoping are actually for increased benefit on livability of our suburbs, no doubt some developer will come along and find a loophole, and we're going to have to do an amendment package. But like it's been said previously, that we have tried to make some improvements there. My disappointment in the planning scheme is that, similar to Councillor Bishop's, heritage was worked on. It did come to us in a workshop back in, I think it was 13, 14, and yet it still hasn't got into the planning scheme. That is something that is mentioned to me, the character of our old buildings and that existing feel, not just with buildings but with our trees and everything in our area, our heritage trees, is a priority for our community. And I'm also disappointed that the corridor work isn't already in the planning scheme as well. I know it's coming as an amendment package in October, or that is the plan, but the process that I voted to send this planning scheme into the city was on the fact that I understood what I was told, how I understood it, was that when the planning scheme is going to be adopted, on the same day, the environmental amendment package, which would include all the corridors to go into the planning scheme, would also be adopted and that process would commence. Now, that isn't happening. We are adopting this today, working on it, I presume, on that huge spreadsheet we got, which have got all the changes that the state government has said, working on them, and then the planning scheme will be implemented in October. And at that stage, these other amendment packages should also be ready. But I'm very nervous in putting my name to a city plan that doesn't have that environmental protection in it, which I feel our city has requested. And even recently with our branding, Naturally Wonderful is what came over very loud and clear. So without that security for myself to put my name to this, that environmental work is actually going to get into it. It's so disappointing it's not all in there now. As much as I thank the officers for all their work and I acknowledge some improvements throughout it, I also will be withholding my support for the planning scheme today.
Councillors, I just want to make it really clear that we actually did include environmental mapping in our planning scheme. The element that was that is still being worked through is simply some of the other corridor work, which doesn't even necessarily need planning scheme tools to make it happen. So just to be really clear, there was adjustments according to the mapping, environmental mapping that was there. It's a bit of a fur fee.
Yes, and...
No, thank you, Councillor.
And I acknowledge...
Thank you, Councillor. That corridor work will come back to you. But I think it's really clear for the community to understand that that was acknowledged through the process. I'm going to move on now to Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. It's more of a question, and it's in relation to our last attempt at a special meeting. We were provided with advice that there was literally nothing more could be done in relation to adding another amendment in regards to the 400 square metre lots. I'd just like some clarity, because the community has now been provided with media responses from the Minister's office stating that we pretty much dropped the ball legally, and that there's individual lobby groups out there now jumping onto that. And I'd just like the clarity around it, that we haven't actually dropped the ball, that we actually have done a lot of work around this plan to bring it to where it is now. And we actually took the responsible step to ensure going back to the Minister to get clarity around this so that we could actually meet the community expectations. So I just wanted to get some clarity around how come the Minister's office has said one thing and gone against what we've actually done and produced.
No one's dropped the ball. We've followed a process, a legal process that's set out in legislation. And this, the option that has been brought to us, and as the Minister has explained, is how we're proceeding under that particular requirement. I'll get Kim to clarify.
Just before the clarification, I'm not saying, I'm just making a statement. That's what the implication was made.
Councillors, you have been provided with a flowchart.
Yes, we have, but the community hasn't.
Oh, that flowchart
is... The community's getting its information.
Let's be really clear. That flowchart, as I understand it, has been available on our website. It's part of the planning processes that we've been going through, the MALPI process.
excuse me. Thank you, Chair. And to address your question, Councillor Golay, as the Mayor stated before, we've worked closely with the officers of the state government throughout. You'll be aware that they sat through all the workshops, including those where councillors were considering submissions, to ensure that we were in step with state government expectations. And it was in response to overwhelming community concern about decisions being made for lots smaller than the minimum size that the decision was taken by council to include a minimum lot size in the overall outcomes, which in a code assessment is the strongest decision-making tool, and effectively means if it can't be met, the development can't be approved. the planning scheme was made under the Sustainable Planning Act, not the Planning Act, which is currently came into force in July last year. And if you look back through the tests of the Minister's guideline and the references to the Sustainable Planning Act, there's nothing in there that does refer to performance-based planning. In taking that position, Council also looked at the Department's own communications. There's a YouTube clip which is to guide community understanding of the planning processes, and it certainly has a black and white approach. You'll either get a red cross or a green tick, and so it implies that provisions can be put in place which really direct a particular outcome. The word unlawful had never been... The first time it's been used is in the most recent communications from the Minister's office. It certainly didn't come through in the extensive negotiations had at officer level to carry forward Council's expressed wish on behalf of the community to further strengthen those provisions. Understanding that there's a lot that takes place directly with the state government, you know, that position came from head office, and the term that was used was prohibition by stealth, which was a curious turn of phrase. That's now translated into, you know, unlawful. Certainly that was worked through with the state government. The position that's been arrived at after bringing that back to councillors was understanding that it may come through as a ministerial condition, but Council advised the state government that its position was the one that had been taken in the post-consultation version of the planning scheme submitted for final review. The other information that's been coming through in the correspondence is pointing to examples of councils where, who have done it, if I can put it lawfully, in each of those cases, including the Logan planning scheme, that doesn't prohibit development below that minimum lot size. So it can be misleading to, if the impression is taken that that's the base and nothing will happen below it, and certainly Logan have approved applications below their 350 square metre minimum lot size in the low density residential zone. So I thank you for the opportunity to clarify that. That's not to say that Council can't re-look at that, because it is a ministerial condition, and seek to strengthen the provisions. It's also clear from the communication that it's the low-medium density residential zone that's probably created the greatest concern, whereas Council's concern is that that's flowing through now in this condition to the low-density residential zone. Does that clarify that? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. I just think from the media, et cetera, that I've been reading, the public has been drawn to the attention of particular words, for example, unlawful. That's created a perception that somehow we haven't done our job, which is not correct. We've put months, if not years, of work into this. We've basically listened to the community, and as you've stated quite correctly, we actually had state government representatives sitting at the back in the gallery, pretty much not directly guiding us, but listening to everything that we've discussed and worked through. So I find it quite sort of irregular that those words were used, because it's quite misleading to the public, and it's also very easy ammunition to load up to fire back towards council by people with a certain agenda who just want to give council a black eye at any given chance. So yeah, thank you for clearing that up. Thank you.
Well, I don't think the community could ever say that we didn't try. And I think that's the message that I'd like to send out, that we once again demonstrate the complexities of planning and the role that the state plays. And I just want to remind councillors and the members of the public that this process has seen two ministers, two councils, half a decade of work on behalf of our community to deal with the issues that they raise with us on these complex matters. I note that a couple of councillors have already stated their objection to adopting this city plan, and
I guess I just wanted to, it's a very easy position to take, having been part of the 2006 process. Make it very clear that council, local government, has to have a planning scheme. It has to have a city plan. We don't have a choice in that matter. That scheme or that plan needs to reflect the state's wishes and legislation, and it's complex. It's very easy to take a populist position on this and say we don't support any development, because it's actually deceptive, because as council we cannot stop development, but we can try to manage it in the best interests of our community, and that's exactly what this scheme is trying to do. When we started out, and not all councillors were here at the time, we said the very, very first thing we agreed to do was say what you mean and mean what you say. That's how we've reduced the two volumes of documents called Redlands Planning Scheme 2006 with the various amendments along the way to a smaller document. I'm not saying it's still easy to read, but it's a damn sight easier than the last one that we had. And the officers have gone beyond, I guess, the call of duty in making sure that we consulted very heavily, probably the longest consultation period any council has had in regards to this new draft scheme. So I'm saying it's deceptive, because what this document has now done has dealt with some of those issues. So those councillors who vote against this scheme, for whatever reason, and once again, I'll talk about the 80-20 rule that's been mentioned. None of us here are happy with everything in this document, me included. But what you're voting against today... it's no point of order. Thank you. We have making comments. Thank you. The new Redlands City Plan...
Point of order.
Councillor, there is no point of order. I'm taking the same opportunity as every other councillor to make a comment. Thank you. What's happening, councillors...
Yeah, I was offended by that comment too, saying that if we vote against it, we're being deceptive. This has got nothing to do with me.
Thank you.
We're going to try and stop.
No, I'm saying it's easy to say you vote against, you're voting against development in our city, because we don't have a choice. Moving on, this is what councillors would be potentially voting against today. The new city plan actually delivers an easier document to understand. It includes simplification of zones and overlays. It actually includes more refined and accurate mapping to identify hazards and environmental values. The requirement for better design outcomes, and Lord knows that we've heard about townhouses in our city and how obtrusive and ugly they are, and this addresses that. Provision of minimum lot sizes, which has been a really big issue for our community. Providing for housing diversity and choice in our urban centres. Strengthening the environmental and waterway corridor protection. Easier planning for investment and establishing business, which is obviously important for future generations to have employment here. On our Simbi Islands, it allows them to have small crops. It provides more flexibility to allow CBD to actually develop. And clearer regulations, as Councillor Mitchell has already said, in regards to revetment walls and 9 metres. It was a real big concern for people in our canal estates. I'd also like to say that I'd like to congratulate the Minister, because he too has to live by the legislation that we have to abide by. And frankly, I don't think we would have got this same outcome with a previous Minister. I really think that he has listened to us as Council on behalf of our community, and he's provided an opportunity for us to deliver what our community says, the only element being that we have to make sure it's not going to prohibit development, and that will come. That what he's directed actually allows that, and secondly, we can have another stab of it. So I'm just conscious that just by voting against this document, you effectively allow what we've seen and what people don't like happening from a planning perspective in our city to continue. And whether it's that you're waiting for an amendment for various elements of that, in the meantime, this process has taken 5 years, and a lot of those issues that were raised 5 years ago are still continuing. So today, with the implementation on the 8th of October,
we really do start to deliver to the best of our ability within the legislation to our community for exactly what they told us over the 11 weeks of consultation and the millions of dollars that have been invested to make sure we get the best possible outcome for the future generations of Redland City from a planning perspective within the constraints of the legislation set out by the state. So I'd like to, on behalf of Council, once again thank all the officers. It's been a labour of love, and I'm sure they'll be really happy to see the back of this particular stage. As it has been said, it's a living document, and so it continues with amendments. I'd also like to, on behalf of Council, acknowledge that the Minister has done his best to address our concerns. And, you know, obviously, as Councillor Elliott has said, through this amendment, we get to have another opportunity to have another go at that particular issue. And frankly, compared to previous ministerial directions that I've been exposed to as a councillor, we should be very, very grateful. And I'm pretty sure Councillor Elliott will agree with me on that, because we've had directions from ministers previously for no minimum lot size. And today we get to address that in itself. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Councillor Elliott if you'd like to sum up, and then we can put the vote.
Thanks, Mayor. Just one thing before I do sum up. We had a document where the amendment package was on the 10th of October. Was that the commencement of the plans up there, but we had the amendment package was somewhere it was 2 days later. Where was that? Yeah. Just dawned on me, that's it.
Thank you, through the Chair. In the briefing to councillors on the minister's conditions, it did set out potential timeframes. The intention is to formally commence the amendment process as soon as possible after the commencement of city plan, that being the 8th of October. There is a council meeting on the 10th. So that was the information conveyed at that time.
Yeah, the 10th was in this document, and I'm going, hang on, the 8th is, and I just asked Councillor Edmonds, wasn't the 10th in up there somewhere?
So the 8th is when the city plan will be implemented, and the 10th is when the amendment package will come to council. Okay. I am conscious that I'm summing up. Councillor Tolte, is it a question?
When we did raise delaying the finalisation of this meeting for 2 weeks, officers were concerned to move the date in the motion out 2 weeks. I don't think it has been moved. Are they happy with that now?
Officers are nodding their heads. Okay. Back to you, Councillor Elliott, if you're ready to sum up.
I wouldn't want to go the other way. Okay, thanks, Mayor. To the community, you can see the diverse view of every councillor in the room, their passions for different things. Setbacks and maximum things. There's a lot of things that are going to change in this document. A lot of things are going to change, but I think in general it'll be for the good. The minister's letter back was conciliatory. The mayor made a comment in one workshop, I remember, about what some things they did in the low to medium density. You know, it changed from a direction to advice that there could be less diversity in, because you're going from 250 up to 400. That was an outcome that blew me away. I thought that'd be shoved down our throats, but certainly, and on the ground, the developers are doing the 350s to 400. So the diversity, they're the ones that rule. We can write all the housing strategies we like, but they will do what the product that sells and what the demand is. The state interest, Councillor Gleeson wrote there about the state interest and interference in the scheme. The state has an obligation to the whole community, not just us, Brisbane, everybody, how transport infrastructure works, all those sort of things. So certainly they're going to have skin in the game, and I've seen it over the years change from, you know, we had 70% greenfield and 30% infill, and now we're well the other way simply because of the huge costs that are involved in providing all that stuff across the city. And I can remember a document of the shoreline developments years ago, the cost for electricity and schools and all that. It was enormous cost sort of thing in the future. That's all I'd like to say, and I commend the plan to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is, I'll just go around the room and I'll ask that question. Those in favour, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, thank you, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Bishop. Thank you, councillors. With that, I close the meeting at 19 minutes past 9. Thank you.